The Unfaithful Mr. Scott, Melanie Smith. Chapter 61. There was only pity and nothing else. The impatience in Eugene's eyes spread, and he leaned back as he said in an indifferent tone, "Get out." Melanie left without hesitation. When she passed by Viola's workstation, she felt the guarded gaze cast upon her. Back downstairs, Jana looked at Melanie with admiration and said, "Melanie, you were so domineering just now." Melanie paid no attention to that comment. "Did you deliver the documents I gave you this morning?" Just as she said this, a colleague outside the door called out to Melanie. "Melanie, someone is looking for you." Melanie did not expect Joshua to come back and look for her again after leaving. Joshua's family company was also on the invitation list for the meeting, and Melanie had just seen him. However, they were not very familiar with each other. Joshua was nervous as he scratched his ear and greeted Melanie, "I heard you've been looking into art exhibitions lately. My uncle works in that field. If you're interested, I can introduce you to him." The reality was that Melanie had no deep impression of Joshua. She only remembered him as someone who often accompanied Simon. She nodded politely and replied, "Thank you, but not for now." Joshua seemed disappointed. "Are you very busy?" He genuinely admired Melanie, and the not so friendly things he said to her at the hotel that day had been seared into his brain. He had been wanting to make amends, but since Melanie was unwilling to accept his help, Joshua could only leave with regret. Melanie saw him off, and when she returned to the office, she noticed that Eugene had come down. Eugene was tall and exuded an air of superiority in his every move. He looked particularly arrogant when he was not smiling. Melanie paused for a moment before continuing forward. Eugene looked at her, mockery flickering in his eyes. "Melanie, you've quite the nerve, making appointments with men during working hours." His words were impolite and quite harsh, causing Melanie's fingers to involuntarily curl up. "You know Joshua? The Hewitt family is small and insignificant. I can't believe you'd be interested in someone like him now." Eugene's tone was lightly mocking. Melanie tightened her grip on the cup as she looked at Eugene. She forced herself to remain calm and finally asked, "Do you need something from me?" Eugene threw a document at her. "You'll be handling the planning for Oceanus Industries." Oceanus Industries was a rising star in the financial district of Oralum. Melanie glanced at the document and was about to ask something when he added, "And take Viola with you." Melanie was momentarily stunned, but then she realized what was happening. Eugene was holding a grudge against her comment about Viola lacking practical experience and not being considered an outstanding intern. That was why he wanted to assign her to a nominal role. Even if Melanie and Viola worked on the planning together or even if Viola just assisted on the sidelines, her name would have to appear on the project. Her hand that held the document trembled slightly. Biting her lip, Melanie looked up at Eugene. "What if I refuse?" Eugene's icy gaze swept over her features as he sneered. Looking down at Melanie, he challenged her. "Do you have a choice?" He was right. Melanie had no choice. As long as she was still an employee of LeapCo, she had to follow Eugene's arrangements. The document and was about to ask something when he added, "And take Viola with you." Melanie was momentarily stunned, but then she realized what was happening. Eugene was holding a grudge against her comment about Viola lacking practical experience and not being considered an outstanding intern. That was why he wanted to assign her to a nominal role. Even if Melanie and Viola worked on the planning together or even if Viola just assisted on the sidelines, her name would have to appear on the project. Her hand that held the document trembled slightly. Biting her lip, Melanie looked up at Eugene. "What if I refuse?" Eugene's icy gaze swept over her features as he sneered. Looking down at Melanie, he challenged her. "Do you have a choice?" He was right. Melanie had no choice. As long as she was still an employee of LeapCo, She had to follow Eugene's arrangements. Chapter 62. Viola had to work on the planning alongside Melanie. She could not just stand by and watch. The next day, she brought her things downstairs, stood in front of Melanie, and addressed her obediently. Melanie handed the project materials over to her directly and instructed, "Organize all the data before noon." This time, Viola did not make a fuss. She knew that she could gain a lot by following Melanie, so she focused on the task diligently. However, due to her being young and her connection with Eugene, it did not take long for her to clash with the people in the office. The data on the Oceanus Industries project was complicated, and Melanie found it somewhat challenging to handle it on her own. The ruckus in the office only added to her frustration. She stood up and left the office, heading to the break room for some rest. As soon as she arrived at the break room, her phone started ringing. It was Dylan calling again. Since Dylan rarely contacted her so frequently, Melanie hesitated for a moment before answering. Dylan was sobbing uncontrollably. Melanie waited for her to calm down before asking, "What do you need? Just tell me." After returning from the break room, Melanie's expression was even colder than before. Dylan had asked her for another $10,000, saying that Peachy's medical expenses were not enough and the hospital was urging her to leave. Melanie massaged her temples, feeling an intense headache coming on. "Melanie, when will the planning be completed?" Viola asked softly after approaching her. Melanie was already irritated, and even though she tried to contain her anger, her tone came off harsh. "You can do it yourself." Viola bit her lip and retreated. At lunchtime, she treated everyone in the office to coffee, excluding Melanie. "Melanie, I remember that you don't like coffee, so I didn't get one for you. You don't mind, do you?" she asked Melanie innocently with wide eyes. Melanie remained silent and focused on the planning documents, her temples throbbing with pain. She simply did not have the energy to deal with Viola. It was after work hours, and Melanie needed to go out to get something. The moment she stepped out of the office, she encountered Eugene, who had come to pick Viola up. She tactfully moved to the side. Eugene did not see her and went straight to Viola, who was still working on editing a form. She looked at Eugene with a troubled expression. "I still have a lot of unfinished work. Why don't you go ahead first? No need to wait for me." Eugene casually pulled over a chair. "Continue with your work. I'll wait for you." A hint of blush appeared on Viola's face, and she could not help casting a triumphant glance at Melanie. However, Melanie just kept her head down. She was as expressionless as a robot. By the time she was done with overtime, it was already dark outside. Melanie packed up and left, only to discover that it was raining when she reached downstairs. She had just gotten into the driver's seat when someone tapped on her window. Eugene was standing outside with an umbrella. Lowering the window, Melanie looked at Eugene, who also looked back at her indifferently. "My car broke down." He was implying that she give him and Viola a ride. The rain made driving challenging, so Melanie drove slowly. Eugene and Viola sat in the back, occasionally exchanging hushed words that Melanie could not pick up. Melanie drove expressionlessly with a slight crack in the window so that she could listen to the rain outside. Simon's call came at the right time. Just as Melanie was making a turn, he called Eugene and asked him to join him at the bar. Eugene agreed and looked at Melanie, saying, "Go to GT." They were approaching Viola's home, and going to GT would mean taking a detour. Melanie had initially planned to drop Viola off first. However, Viola held Eugene's hand and coquettishly said, "Eugene, take me with you, please." Melanie glanced at Eugene through the rearview mirror. His expression remained cool, but it was occasionally softened by the passing streetlights. He casually nodded, agreeing to Viola's request. Only then did Viola remember Melanie. She said apologetically, "Sorry for the trouble, Melanie." Chapter 63. Melanie remained silent and dropped them off at GT. With Simon and others around, Eugene would have plenty of people willing to give him a ride. After reaching home, Melanie did not immediately shower and sleep. However, in the middle of the night, her sleep was disturbed by the sound of her phone. Eugene's icy voice came through the phone without much emotion. "Come and pick me up." Hearing the rain outside, Melanie huddled further under her blanket. "You can take a taxi." Eugene hung up just as she said that. Unwilling to go out in the cold rain, Melanie stayed put. However, 3 minutes later, her phone rang again with the same cold and indifferent voice saying, "Come and pick me up." Melanie said nothing, and the call ended. 3 minutes later, the phone rang again. The calls continued, disrupting Melanie's sleep. After one more call from Eugene, Melanie finally sighed and replied reluctantly, "Fine." With that, Eugene's persistence ceased. After silently changing into some dry clothes, Melanie made her way to GT. In the rainy depths of the night, she drove slowly, and by the time she reached GT, half an hour had passed. The bar was still crowded, and Melanie failed to locate Eugene. She asked the bartender, who informed her that Simon's group had left earlier. The next day, Melanie looked quite worn out after having stayed up late the night before. In contrast, Viola appeared lively. The planning for Oceanus was challenging, and Melanie had some questions to clarify with Eugene. When Viola was about to tag along with her, Melanie curtly said, "You're not done with your form yet." That kept her in her seat. Melanie went upstairs. Eugene was on a video call and signaled for her to wait. She stood there, surveying the surroundings. The layout had not changed much, but it always felt different from Melanie's memories. Perhaps it was due to the conspicuously placed decorations. After Eugene ended the call, he looked at Melanie and asked with a frown, "Didn't rest well last night?" Melanie hesitated for a moment and replied, "You asked me to pick you up last night, but you weren't at the bar." "Did I?" Eugene did not seem too concerned, his eyebrows just twitching slightly. "I probably got drunk and didn't notice," he said casually in the end. Those seemingly indifferent words registered in Melanie's ears like a slap to the face, making her feel absurdly ridiculous. She thought she had at least become something like a habit for Eugene, but she realized she was nothing more than a joke to him when he was drunk. A painful sensation seemed to fill Melanie's bones, making her feel as though she had been submerged in seawater. As she descended the stairs, she bumped into someone from HR who was delivering the list of newly hired employees along with their salary details. Melanie checked the list and found no issues with it. Just when she was about to return it, she noticed Viola's name at the end of the list. New employees who joined the company as the president's secretary would always receive a bonus as an incentive. Eugene was always generous in this regard. However, Melanie noticed that Viola was missing her bonus. Did Eugene forget? The HR employee noticed Melanie staring at the list with furrowed brows and thought there might be a problem with it. They asked, "Melanie, is everything okay?" Melanie snapped out of her thoughts and shook her head. "It's nothing." It had nothing to do with her if Eugene had forgotten about it or not. "Oh, let me go with you." Pushing aside her thoughts, Melanie returned the list and followed the person to the HR department. Melanie went to update her contract after realizing that her last renewal had been 3 years ago. There were less than 3 months left until it expired. Chapter 64. Melanie was lost in thought until her phone rang. Seeing that it was Stella calling, she frowned slightly. Stella rarely initiated contact with her. After hesitating for a moment, she answered the call, and Stella's commanding tone came through. "Come to Paramount Hospital and bring some supplements." When Melanie arrived, she learned that Madame York, Stephen's mother, had accidentally injured her arm and needed to be hospitalized for observation. When Stella saw Melanie, she raised her eyebrows. Leave the things and you can leave. Her tone was unpleasant. Melanie pressed her lips together, choosing not to speak. Stella was Eugene's mother, and be it publicly or privately, Melanie could not say much. Thank you. On the hospital bed, Madame York nodded gently with warmth and courtesy. Melanie shook her head and left the ward under Stella's urging. As soon as she stepped out of the ward, she collided with Stephen, who had been in a hurry. Stephen was surprised to run into Melanie here and supported her, asking, "Are you okay?" "I'm fine." Melanie did not want to obstruct his path and moved aside so that he could enter. Madame York's room was a private one with a partition inside. Before Melanie could leave, she overheard Stella's somewhat sharp voice, saying, "If there's anything you need, just ask Melanie to do it. She doesn't have much to do anyway." Melanie's expression remained unchanged at the statement. She still had work to finish when Stella called her over. She anticipated another night of overtime when she returned. "Mel." Stephen had also heard what Stella said. He comforted Melanie gently for a bit before going inside to check on Madame York. He had initially wanted to invite Melanie to dinner, but considering her work demands, she declined. 2 hours had passed by the time she returned to the company. When she entered the office, she saw Viola chatting with Jana. When Viola saw that Melanie had returned, she slowly went back to her seat. Melanie placed her bag down and asked, "Is everything sorted out?" "It's all sent to your email." Melanie nodded and sat down at her computer. The planning for Oceanus Industries was a challenging task. After reviewing the form that Viola had revised, she noticed a missing piece of data. Melanie had intended to locate the information herself, but considering how much she had on her plate, she handed the documents back to Viola. She instructed her to make the correction. Viola was somewhat reluctant. "Isn't the form already fixed? There's one more piece of data missing. It should be in the database. Check it." Melanie's request was reasonable as it was part of Viola's responsibilities. However, searching through the extensive database would take time. Due to always being by Eugene's side and having his protection, Viola had the privilege of not having to learn certain things. It made her somewhat clumsy when it came to certain tasks. By the time Melanie finished organizing the data on her side, Viola had not managed to extract the data. Unable to just watch any longer, Melanie gave her a reminder with furrowed brows. Yet, Viola continued her work with an expression of indifference. After finally finishing work for the day, it was already half an hour later than the usual time she got off work. Melanie packed up and prepared to leave. However, Viola stopped her. "Melanie, do you want to have dinner together tonight? As thanks for driving me home last night." "I have something to do," replied Melanie expressionlessly. The office door was pushed open just as she said that, and Eugene's cedar scent wafted in. He glanced at Melanie and looked at Viola. "Why so late today?" "Melanie came back late," Viola said, attributing their overtime to Melanie. Eugene's gaze landed on her, the corners of his eyebrows lifting as he waited for Melanie's explanation. Melanie took a deep breath and explained slowly, "And asked me to go to the hospital to deliver something." "She asked and you went?" Eugene threw out this question casually after a pause. It was a simple inquiry without any other meaning. Over the next 3 days, Melanie managed to outline the plan for Oceanus Industries. After having settled down during this time, Viola also made much faster progress. Chapter 65. LEAPCO was very generous with employee benefits, offering substantial commissions for signing a deal. Melanie thought that by letting her plan the project, Eugene was indicating that she was in charge of it. She went looking for Eugene the moment she was done with the planning. "Can we arrange to meet with Oceanus Industries next Tuesday?" she asked. Eugene was looking through the proposal as he replied coldly, "I have plans on Tuesday." Melanie frowned. "What plans?" "Viola is going back to school," Eugene answered succinctly. Clearly, he hoped that Viola would be there every step of the way for the collaboration with Oceanus Industries. Melanie paused for a moment but then pretended to be indifferent. Her name is already in the proposal. It makes no difference if she's there or not. Eugene's fingers stilled in the midst of flipping through the papers. Brows furrowed slightly, he looked at Melanie slowly. There was no emotion in his deep, dark eyes. Your participation in this matter with Oceanus Industries ends here. You don't need to be involved any further. It took a while for Melanie to understand what he was saying, and when she did, her heart sank. She looked at Eugene with disbelief and asked, "What do you mean?" "It doesn't matter if you go or not," Eugene replied. He lowered his gaze and placed the documents back on the table. Melanie stared at him, her fingertips trembling. "Who else will go if not me?" Eugene paused before replying slowly, "I'll make arrangements." Hands clenched tightly into fists, Melanie retorted with a tremble in her voice, "Your arrangement is to just push me aside." "It's the company's arrangement," Eugene responded indifferently. Melanie laughed bitterly. In the end, she was disposable in Eugene's eyes. Monday arrived, and Eugene took Viola to Oceanus Industries. Viola could hardly conceal the joy on her face when they returned. Melanie observed them coldly. Seemingly sensing her eyes on him, Eugene casually glanced over, and their eyes locked. Melanie immediately averted her gaze. She handed the files in her hands to Yana while maintaining an indifferent appearance. Yana looked at Melanie and could not help but complain, "Melanie, just wait and see. Viola might be clinging to Mr. Scott now, but once he gets tired of her, she'll be in trouble." Melanie remained silent. Clinginess was a skill of Viola's, and Eugene was willing to pamper her. It was the end of the workday, and before Melanie left, Stephen called her up to have dinner together. She accepted his invitation. "I happen to be near Lipko. I'll come pick you up," Stephen said. Stephen arrived not long after. Melanie gathered her things and headed downstairs. There were more than 10 steps in front of the Lipko building. As she was lost in thought, Melanie paid no attention to where she was going and twisted her ankle. A sharp pain shot up from her ankle, and Melanie's face instantly turned pale. Stephen frowned and stepped forward to support her by the elbow when he saw this. "Are you okay?" he asked. The moment he said that, a peal of light and lively laughter sounded behind them. Melanie's back stiffened slightly. Without even looking back, she could already guess who it was. Viola was walking over with Eugene arm in arm. The next moment, Eugene's gaze landed on Stephen, who was supporting Melanie by her arm. Melanie moved her foot, and the pain it elicited forced her to take a sharp breath. Her face paled even more. Still, she insisted to Stephen that she was fine. Stephen's brows furrowed. "Let me carry you," he offered. Hearing this, Eugene paused as his deep gaze landed on Melanie's face. Chapter 66. Melanie was aware that her situation was not good at the moment, and she did not dare to act tough. She nodded to Stephen. "Thank you." Stephen lifted Melanie into his arms steadily. Although Melanie was tall, she was slender, and with Stephen being over 1.8 meters tall, she looked small and helpless in his arms. While cradled in Stephen's arms, Melanie raised her eyes and happened to meet Eugene's deep and cold gaze. She hesitated for a moment but then lowered her gaze again, averting from his line of sight. "Eugene." Viola tugged at Eugene's sleeve and reminded him softly, "Didn't we agree to have dinner with Simon and the others?" Eugene looked away from Melanie and glanced at her. He hummed in response to her, and they made their way toward his car. Viola looked over at Stephen and Melanie with pursed lips, but she quickly relaxed. She hooked her arm with Eugene's, as if declaring her claim over him. Melanie followed Stephen to the hospital. Her previously sprained ankle was injured again, and the doctor sternly advised her not to wear high heels. Melanie felt apologetic. Sorry, we were supposed to have dinner together. It's fine. As long as you're okay. Stephen pulled her up. Can you still walk? Melanie had changed into a pair of flat shoes, and she was barely able to walk. Since dinner was no longer viable, Stephen could only take her home. However, because of her injury, Melanie was unable to drive, which left Stephen helpless. I'll drive you to work tomorrow, he insisted. Melanie hesitated as she did not want to trouble him. No need. I can take a taxi. You'll have to walk a few hundred meters before you can flag down a taxi. Are you sure you can manage? Stephen disagreed with her. It's settled, then. I'll pick you up tomorrow morning. Melanie's attempts at refusing him ended up in vain. The next morning, Stephen arrived on time and drove her to the company. I'll pick you up in the afternoon, he said. Feeling uneasy, Melanie was about to decline him when she noticed Eugene's Maybach stopping not far away. Eugene would pick up Viola every morning and they would go to the company together. Rumors had spread at first, but later, everyone got used to it. Melanie lowered her eyes and entered the company. Just after taking a few steps, she heard rhythmic footsteps behind her, followed by a familiar fragrance. Aren't you clever? Eugene said with an indifferent tone as he stopped beside her. Melanie's heart tightened, but she maintained her composure. I twisted my foot and can't drive. By Jean sneered, what does that have to do with me? Melanie's fists tightened before she loosened them again. Wasn't that what you were referring to? Eugene did not respond any further. He walked ahead of her, and when Melanie turned around, she saw Viola heading downstairs to the coffee shop. Her gaze, however, remained fixated on Melanie. She looked guarded. Viola was probably wondering what Eugene had just sold to her. Due to her foot injury, Melanie spent the entire day sitting at her desk. During the lunch break, she overheard some colleagues discussing leaving early due to a potential power outage from circuit maintenance scheduled in the afternoon. However, a large stack of documents suddenly plopped down on her desk in the afternoon. Melanie became so engrossed in her work that she forgot about the scheduled power outage. It was not until the office lights went out that she realized what had happened. Just then, her phone rang. Upon answering the call, she heard Stephen ask, Mel, are you not coming down? I heard they're doing circuit maintenance. Melanie had night blindness, but it was not completely dark, so she could still see somewhat clearly. She slowly packed her things and replied, I'm coming down now. Stephen was one of the few people who were aware of her night blindness. He said, it's okay. Wait for me. I'll come up. The weather today was not great, and it was gloomy all around. After a while, the lights in the office completely dimmed. Chapter 67. Melanie did not dare move about recklessly, so she just sat at her desk and waited. Soon, footsteps approached. Thinking it was Stephen, she called out to him, worried that he might not be able to find her. The footsteps paused before slowly approaching her. Melanie could only see a tall figure and was unable to discern their features. However, she figured that no one else other than Stephen would come up here at this time. Could you help me a bit? I can't see very well, Melanie asked softly. Her request was followed by a cold sneer as the figure arrived in front of her. Eugene's looming shadow was accompanied by his mocking voice as he said, Is this how you endear yourself to Stephen before hooking up with him? Melanie had not expected it to be Eugene. She fell silent for a moment before asking back, Why haven't you left? Ignoring her question, Eugene asked, Waiting for Stephen to come pick you up. Without her sight, the rest of Melanie's senses heightened. Eugene's low voice sounded as if he were whispering in her ear. Melanie tried to remain composed. I can't see well. She had, in fact, mentioned her night blindness to Eugene before, but Melanie had always been careful to avoid the issue. She never allowed it to become a problem in front of him. He had probably forgotten about it because of this. Eugene went quiet for a while, so Melanie asked, "Is there anything else?" As she was unable to see clearly, she clenched her hands on the table tightly. It was a sign of her nervousness. Eugene lowered his gaze and observed her for a moment. Just as he was about to speak, Melanie received a call from Stephen, and her phone screen illuminated the area. With the light, Melanie was finally able to catch a bit of Eugene's expression. It was very cold. His dark eyes appeared exceptionally chilly in this dim lighting as he stared at her. "Stephen has really bad taste if he's interested in you." A surge of frustration built up in Melanie. She could not help but retort, "In that case, you were blind for 8 years." Eugene fell silent at that for a bit before rebuking, "You think too highly of yourself." With that, he left. Melanie's phone screen dimmed again, leaving the office in complete darkness. When Stephen finally arrived, he had a flashlight with him. He approached Melanie and asked, "Were you waiting long?" "I went to buy a flashlight." Melanie did not look too good, but she did not say anything. On the day the bonuses from the project with Oceanus Industries were calculated, Viola treated everyone in the secretarial department to coffee. The atmosphere was lively, but Melanie remained silent. No one dared to approach her as everyone knew that Melanie had been the main person in charge of the planning for Oceanus Industries despite not receiving any of the credit. When Viola handed her the coffee, Melanie's expression turned cold. She stood up and immediately left. She was extremely agitated. The bonus from the Oceanus project was a considerable sum, and she had not expected Eugene to handle the situation the way he did. Thanks to this matter, Melanie felt somewhat discomfited. Everyone in the secretarial department was observant of her and thus became cautious with their actions. However, someone had somehow leaked this incident. By the time it reached Eugene's ears, the news said that Melanie had brought her emotions into work. When Melanie went to look for Eugene, he left her hanging for a while before he said to her indifferently, "If you don't want to work, just say so." Melanie just asked blankly, "Do you have any work arrangements for me?" Eugene raised a brow, his cold gaze fixed on her. "Aren't you feeling resentful? The Prime City branch is having some trouble. Go deal with it." Melanie's face darkened slightly. The Prime City branch was the poorest performing one among all of LEAPCO's branches, and top management had been considering shutting it down. Yet, Eugene had assigned her to deal with this troublesome situation. Chapter 68. It took Melanie some time to regain her voice. "Eugene, are you targeting me?" she asked in a hoarse voice. "You think too much. You're more suitable for this job." Eugene casually placed the items in his hands down, his dark eyes assessing Melanie. Creases formed on his forehead as he sneered and countered, "What? Am I interfering with your relationship with Stephen?" Melanie looked at Eugene, her chest feeling tight and stifling. She had always thought Eugene treated her differently, but apparently, it was all the same. It felt like her throat was tied, and after a moment of silence, Melanie slowly said, "Okay, I'll go to Prime City." The mockery in Eugene's eyes intensified. Raising a brow, he looked at Melanie's painted lips and said with a hint of a sneer, "You can leave tomorrow morning." Melanie, however, tried to interrupt him by calling out his name. She looked into his stern eyes and sensed an inexplicable feeling of fatigue. She had been by Eugene's side for so long, but perhaps it had been too long, so he had become weary of her. "I won't renew my contract when it expires." She heard herself say this as if she were having an out-of-body experience. Eugene's gaze flickered. He looked at Melanie with slightly narrowed eyes. "Are you threatening me by negotiating conditions?" he growled, his expression darkening completely. Melanie did not understand how he came to this conclusion. Was this not what he wanted? She lowered her gaze and went silent while Eugene's chilling voice continued, "Fine, as long as you don't regret it." The news about Melanie being sent to the Prime City branch spread swiftly. Her colleagues would peek at her subtly. Yana was the only one who dared approach her to strike up a conversation. "Melanie, do you know how long Mr. Scott is sending you there?"
"I don't," Melanie replied truthfully, keeping her intention to resign a secret still.
That afternoon, Melanie packed her things and went to the nursing home. She decided she would visit her grandfather before leaving for Prime City. He never brought up Eugene again after learning about Melanie's breakup, but when he heard that Melanie was going to Prime City, he could not help but ask, "Did Eugene ask you to go?" Melanie replied, "Yes, he told me to go solve some problems. I should be back soon." Her grandfather sighed but said nothing else apart from instructing her to take care of herself. Upon leaving the nursing home, Melanie bumped into Stephen in the parking lot of Paramount Hospital. He was just leaving after visiting Madame York. Surprised to see Melanie, Stephen smiled and asked, "What are you doing here?"
"Visiting my grandfather."
Since Melanie considered Stephen as a friend, she did not hide the fact that she was going to Prime City from him. Stephen frowned upon hearing this and immediately suspected it to be Eugene's doing. Melanie, however, did not think much of it. "In any case, it's just work. Prime City might be a bit more relaxing for me. At least she would not have to see Eugene flaunting himself with Viola in front of her all day." However, Melanie was mistaken this time. Just as she arrived at the city the next morning and was in discussions with Walden, the manager of the Prime City branch, she received a call saying that representatives from LEAPCO's headquarters would be arriving. They were to pick them up in the afternoon.
"Miss Smith, do you know who headquarters sent?" asked Walden.
Melanie had no idea. It was not until she went to the airport with Walden that evening to pick them up that she saw Eugene and Viola walking out. Her expression darkened then. Eugene had personally come over. Feeling like this was a big shot, Walden went up to flatter him. Melanie did not say much during the entire journey. She just sat in the front passenger seat with her head turned away. She and Walden were in the front, while Viola and Eugene were in the back. Chapter 69. Walden attempted to get close to Viola and engaged in a lively conversation with her. "This is my first time in Prime City. Eugene said we're here for my graduation trip. Are there any fun places here?" Viola's tone was innocent, almost romantic. She truly sounded like someone on vacation. Melanie glanced back and saw Eugene resting with his eyes closed. Eugene liked the quiet and despised noise during his rest. However, Viola's cheerful tone did not seem to bother him. Melanie had committed Eugene's preferences to memory back then. Even on business trips, she would try to postpone all work to ensure Eugene could rest properly no matter how busy she was. She always prioritized him, but in the end, she still failed to compare to someone like Viola. Melanie withdrew her gaze and kept away from Viola and Walden's conversation. She leaned against the car window and closed her eyes to rest. They reached the hotel, and since there was not much to do in the evening, Melanie went straight to her room. As she walked away, she could still hear Walden arranging a room for Eugene. Melanie thought Eugene brought Viola along to make her seem more valuable, but the next morning when they departed for the branch office, Viola was nowhere to be seen. Eugene did not offer any explanations and simply got into the car. Walden had brought another secretary along with him this time. Since the front passenger seat was occupied, Melanie had to sit in the back. Between her and Eugene was a vacant space. She stared silently at the scenery flashing by outside. In the front, Walden was enthusiastically introducing the goings-ons of the branch office. Eugene, who was at the back, occasionally glanced at his phone. He was seemingly engaged in responding to messages. "Did you take?" It was not until Walden was done talking that he calmly asked Melanie, "Melanie, did note of everything?"
"Yes, Melanie replied indifferently. Eugene sneered lightly and shifted his gaze to her.
Is that so? I thought you were daydreaming just now.
Melanie hesitated for a moment and then retorted, you must have been mistaken.
Suddenly, a stray dog darted out in front of the car. The driver made a sharp turn, catching Melanie off guard and causing her to tilt toward Eugene. She crashed into him, hands bracing against his sturdy thighs.
Eugene grunted at the impact.
Slash. As the car returned to its course, Walden repeatedly apologized.
Melanie straightened herself up from Eugene's lap with a bit of effort. She took a deep breath and was about to move away from Eugene when she heard him whisper. Only the two of them were privy to the conversation.
Was it on purpose?
He glanced subtly at Melanie's hands that were on his thighs as he said this.
Melanie calmly withdrew her hands and replied, sorry.
With a scoff, Eugene looked away.
Melanie and Eugene followed Walden as they toured the branch office. Walden offered to treat them for lunch, but Eugene lifted his phone to his ear and said, no need. Someone is still waiting for me at the hotel. That someone was Viola, who had come to sightsee this time.
Since Melanie was not going back with Eugene, she decided she would have lunch with Walden.
However, Eugene's cold and indifferent voice stopped her.
You're coming back with me.
Melanie thought of refusing, but then he added, there's something we need to arrange.
Walden wanted to send them back to the hotel, but Eugene declined.
Instead, he flagged down a taxi.
On the way there, Melanie asked Eugene, what is it that needs arranging?
Eugene casually stared at her.
He then parted his lips as he asked, did you bring your driver's license?
Confused, Melanie frowned.
Eugene continued, we need a driver.
You're capable, right?
When they reached the hotel, Viola was already waiting for them at the entrance.
At first, she did not look pleased when she saw Eugene and Melanie returning together.
However, upon hearing that Melanie would be their driver, she smiled and said, thank you for your hard work, Melanie.
Chapter 70.
Melanie remained composed, not responding to Viola's words.
She looked at Eugene and asked, when are we leaving?
Viola had tagged along with Eugene for a vacation.
Eugene would not involve her in work matters but was willing to accompany her during their leisure time.
Eugene pampered Viola and was willing to spend time with her.
As someone who was working for him, Melanie had no grounds to say anything about it.
She would just focus on doing her job.
Viola wanted to have lunch near a scenic area, and Eugene agreed with her.
Melanie went ahead and started the car.
As soon as Viola got into the car, she snuggled into Eugene's arms and complained softly about how he had gone out in the morning without her.
Eugene comforted her calmly, saying, it's rare that you get a day off.
You should get some more sleep.
Though his tone was not exactly gentle, there was a touch of consideration.
Melanie tried concentrating on handling the vehicle, but without a partition in the car, she could still hear Viola's coquettish words.
They had arrived, but the restaurant was located quite far from the parking area due to it being in a scenic spot.
Viola was afraid they might lose their reservation since they were late.
She dragged Eugene along while saying to Melanie, Melanie, Eugene, and I will go ahead to secure our seats.
Can you park the car and join us later?
Melanie was not oblivious.
After she parked the car, she decided to have lunch at a different restaurant.
She received no communication from Viola and Eugene even after she was done with her meal.
With some free time on her hands, she took out her phone and started browsing through it.
With her work account still active on WhatsApp, Melanie tapped into the status section and happened upon a 9-grid photo that Viola had posted about her lunch with Eugene.
Melanie noticed that the table reservation and the dishes were all for two people.
It was then she realized that they had completely disregarded her.
Melanie closed the app with a blank expression.
Just when she was about to go out for a stroll, she received a call from Eugene asking her to join them.
He mentioned a location on a commercial street to her.
When Melanie arrived there, she found Viola shopping in a jewelry store. Viola had her eye on a small pendant that was priced in the five figures. She furrowed her brows and asked Eugene, "Isn't it too expensive?" Eugene replied, "If you like it, then I'll get it for you." Melanie glanced at the pendant Viola was interested in. It was indeed of pretty stellar quality. She then quickly averted her gaze and asked Eugene, "Why did you call me here?" "Melanie," Viola spoke up before Eugene could. "Could you please accompany me to buy clothes? Eugene doesn't know how to appreciate clothes at all." This request seemed less about her shopping for clothes and more about her emphasizing her relationship with Eugene in front of Melanie. Melanie gave a slight pause before replying, "I'm not good at choosing clothes either. You'd better ask Eugene, he's more skilled at it." This was, in fact, the truth. When Melanie first started dating Eugene, he had been the one who picked out her clothes. Even now, her style of dressing was still influenced by Eugene's preferences. It was not that Melanie did not have her own preferences, but she had become accustomed to the current style and was too lazy to change it. However, Viola just ignored Melanie's refusal and dragged her along. Eugene followed behind them as he was responsible for paying the bills, which included the pendant Viola bought earlier. Melanie even noticed that he had paid for it without batting an eye. "Melanie." Viola's sweet voice rang in her ears. "Do you think this looks nice?" Following her gaze, Melanie saw her pointing at a set of matching hoodies, their blue and white colors bright and vibrant. "What do you think?" "It's for Eugene and me," Viola asked with a twinkle in her eyes. Melanie hesitated before replying.